Hi, I'm Gio Puyat, and this is Kwentong Creatives, a podcast to get to know the stories, strategies, and lessons of Filipino creatives from different fields. Kwentong Creatives is produced by Anima Podcasts. Okay, welcome to another episode of Kwentong Creatives. And today we have a guest who I've been wanting to talk to for a while now. She is the Sundance Award-winning filmmaker, Direk Martica Ramirez Escobar. So she is a very talented filmmaker with notable credentials in different aspects of filmmaking. She's a cinematographer, a writer, a director, editor too. So she knows all aspects of production, is very first in a lot of it. But for me, what really stands out with Direk Marti's work is her voice. She calls it weird cinema, and she focuses on things that she finds strange and fascinating. And I really love an artist who leans into that sensibility. And I think that really shows with the kinds of films she's been able to put out. So the film that went to Sundance is Leonore Will Never Die. You can look that up. Really entertaining film. I got to see it in one of their organized screenings in Greenbelt. And that in itself is another topic, na parang unconventional ways of screening films, na not going the main theatrical route. And we talk about that in the episode, no? How a film can find its own audience. So we've had filmmakers on before with this podcast, but I think Marti gives a really refreshing look into something other artists can find parallels in, no? And I think that has to do with her really healthy relationship with her art. We're catching her at this really nice time where she's in the middle of writing her second feature, also finding time to na magpababad dun sa ibang bagay na hindi film, no? And just living life and finding that, you know, a good relationship with your art, which is something I think we all aspire to, and we have a really nice conversation about that. But we also talk about the practical aspects, no? Parang balancing your work as an artist who wants to tell their own stories, or as a craftsman who wants to get hired for their technical skill in production. We talk about the vibe of working with a team, no? Yung creative collaboration and involvement with collaborators that you wanna work with. We also talk about her experience in the international cinema industry, where she was able to take her film around the world and find audiences that resonated with her film, diba? So kahit ibang lahi, kahit ibang culture, nakakapag-connect din sa art niya, which I found really fascinating. And one of my favorite insights from Marti then is how she approaches her mental health, no, as a filmmaker, because it can be a volatile profession. I mean, that's what we talk about a lot on this podcast, living as an artist in the Philippines. And I really like her approach to staying healthy as an artist. And with all that said, I don't think it's necessary that you've seen Leonore to be able to appreciate this conversation. Yeah, so I hope you enjoy my conversation with Direk Marti. All right, so welcome to another episode of Kwentong Creatives. And today I'm joined by the Sundance Awarded filmmaker, writer, director, and cinematographer, Direk Martica Ramirez Escobar. Welcome to the show, Marti.
Hello, Gio. Hello, everyone. And nakikinig.
Yes, thank you for your time, Marti. Parang, I think we caught you at a really good time. And I think that's kind of where I want to start with, no? Kagaling mo lang sa Sweden. And I think, was it for an artist residency? Were you writing for your, I think you were writing for your second feature, no? Baka you can start with that. I think nakikita ko lang mga posts mo sa Facebook, sa IG, and it looked like a really interesting environment to be creative. I saw nagpo-post ka ng kahit mga niluluto mo, mga scenes in nature and like immersing in the culture all while writing for your film. So that looked really interesting to me, and I just wanted to catch you fresh off that experience. Baka pwede mo ikwento anong ginawa niyo dun sa Sweden.
Ayan, so nag-Sweden ako with my co-writer kasi I have a Brazilian co-writer who lives in Sweden, and na-meet ko sa Philippines. So, nung pinitch ko yung second feature ko in a lab called the Full Circle Lab, dun ko siya na-meet kasi mentor namin siya. And then, for some reason, nagkaroon kami ng creative spark when she read the project and we were able to talk deeper about it. Nagkaroon ng air of mukhang pwede kaming mag-co-write. And then softly, pinaparamdam ko sa kanya, parang, interested ka ba? What if my poor person na sobrang gusto kang maka-work? Paano mag-work yun? And before she left the Philippines after the workshop, nagkaroon na ng conversation na, uy, parang pwede to. And then last year to, and yung weakness ko talaga as a filmmaker, yung pagsusulat. And kaya ko siya, but it takes me so much longer to write anything. So, sabi rin nung producer ko, si Monster, na, uy, ano, kailangan natin ng co-writer. And so, ayun na, constantly nag-follow up. And then, we tried to work remotely by, you know, she writes first, and then I write, and then we revise, and then puro Zoom. But, iba kasi kapag wala kayo in the same space, putting your brains together in, alam mo yun, finding out what this film really is. So, luckily, nagkaroon kami ng grant na enough to cover me meeting her where she is. E meron siyang beautiful home sa islands ng Sweden. So, sakto na. She offered it. And also, she would host filmmakers there sa iba't ibang residency. Pero pumunta ako as a friend. So, ayun, nag-spend ako ng 2 weeks there with her and her family. And also, doon namin hinanap kung ano yung film. And after siguro yung 6 days na yon, hindi man malinaw na nahanap na rin yung film, nagkaroon kami ng path kung saan papunta yung film. Kasi yung second feature is very also messy, like naturally messy and random, and 3 stories siya. So it's difficult to find the connection sa 3 stories. But nahanap namin siya. So ayun, we tried to write, and ngayon, dahil nga na-bring up mo siya, parang kailangan ko magtrabaho ulit sa script. Kasi may deadlines eh, and I'm trying to work differently this time na I will really focus on making this film happen in less time than Leonor. Kasi wala, ang hirap nang magdadrag ka ng sobrang daming tao for 7 years. Tapos, alam mo yung parang ang dami lang pwede pang mangyaring iba. So, yun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting how you bring that up na sinabi mo yung weakness mo as a filmmaker is writing, and I find that really interesting. Would you say na baka take us back to Leonor? I know it took you like 7 or 8 years to write, no? So after a period like that, para ano yung headspace mo before meeting Helen? Were you really set in trying to, you know, find ano yung next path mo to the second feature film?
Yung headspace ko after Leonor, ano siya eh, dun at peak yung existential questions that already existed before Leonor. So, okay, nangyari yung Leonor, nangyari yung dream to screen in a cinema, to screen in front of many people, to premiere in a festival that will lead to more audiences. So, nangyari siya, but at the same time, ang gusto ko lang naman kasi gawin ay gumawa ng films, like patuloy na gumawa ng films. But it felt na now that the first film is over, we need to start from scratch. Like, start writing again, begging again, finding out what I want to make again. And it's a struggle na difficult, but also hindi ko siya kayang hindi gawin. So parang, pinitili ko siya. So, yung alam mo yun, yung headspace mo is ang daming conflicts. But whatever you do or you choose to do leads to maybe what you really want. So, nandun kasi yung crisis. I think yung last time tayo nagkita sa set, shoot mo yun, thumb up ako. After and during Leonor, ang dream ko pa rin talaga ay maging DP. Hanggang ngayon, ang dream ko pa rin maging DP. Pero, hindi kasi mukhang feasible yung pagsabay nung pag-DP cam o paggawa ng feature. So, then dito pa rin ako sa headspace of tatanggapin ko ba yun or I'll still continue to try to do both.
Ah, that's so interesting. Actually, I wanted to talk ask you about that later on nga, yung parang dalawang different paths na yan of like, being like a skilled, you know, person that people hire versus making your actual, yung the creative stories that matter to you. Okay, sige, yeah, go ahead. But I just wanted to bookmark that for later. Very interesting topic.
Ayun, tas yung pagtanggap sa amin sa workshop na yun, became a sign na, oh, this second film, which I started writing before Leonor, so mas luma pa to.
Ah, talaga?
Maybe it's okay. A sign. Oh, parang maybe it's a sign na ito na talaga, like, start working on a film again. And, ayun, ngayon we're constantly working. I have the same producing team, si Raj, ta si Monster. So, step by step, little by little. The only difference is now it feels that I need to take things more seriously, which is super not how Leonor was like. Parang kaming naglalarong mga, ano, free, crazy people. But this time, there's, hindi ko alam kung ako naman nag-iisip, parang may air of pressure or of seriousness na whatever support we get, sana ma-put siya into good use. So meron akong like fear na hala, worth it ba tong trip sa Sweden na magsusulat or kailangan pag may ginawa, may matutuwa siya. At yung daming ganon na ideally as a creative or an artist, hindi dapat to iniisip masyado. But it's there, and also because yung filmmaking is a highly collaborative. Alam mo to na parang ang dependent tayo sa ibang tao compared to like kuya artist with a paintbrush. Ito talaga nagre-rely tayo on others. So ayaw ko rin yung thought na i-hassle mo silang lahat sa something na hindi important sa'yo or walang maambag na anything. So, yun.
Yeah, that's so true, no? Parang filmmaking is such a, it's such a social craft, no? Na parang di mo talaga maiwasan to be creative with other people. And I guess that comes with the pressure of, you know, people who monetize films, diba? And, yun, parang the collaborative aspect, sobrang kasama siya dun sa craft of filmmaking. So, I'm curious nga, kanina you said you talked to Helen, right? Helen's her name, right? Your friend from Sweden.
Helen, yes. Yes.
Yeah. What, ano yung parang spark na yun? Parang very interesting yun na parang may nakita kang, uy, pwede kami magsulat ng film together. But that's something kind of, I don't know, medyo rare yun, diba? So, ano yung nakita mo nang simula?
Gets. Feeling ko, alam mo yung feeling na to, Gio. Yung parang, even with key staff you work with or other filmmakers na meet mo, yung sometimes kapag nag-usap lang kayo at or nagkwento ka ng concept mo, it feels like they understand what you're trying to say, even if sa sarili mo ka ang messy niya. So I sent Helen two short films prior to the workshop kasi I think nag-a-assign pa lang sila ng mentors then. And she watched the two films. And nung nagkita na kami in person, sabi niya, alam mo, yung dalawang films na yun, walang napuntahan ever. Like, nag-screen siya sa gallery once. And hindi ko na siya sinubmit anywhere. So, hindi ko rin alam is, may mga taong mag-resonate sa films na yun. But when I met Helen, sabi niya, pag na-imagine niyang gagawa siya ng film, feeling niya something like what I made also. And true enough, I saw one of her short films. Parang silang magpinsan. Yung diary-esque film na hindi lang siya personal eh, but it focuses on how you see little moments in life as important. So may ganun kaming shared love for small things in the big screen. And habang nag-uusap kami, kasi dalawa yung mentors, iba talaga yung gravity nung pagkaintindi niya sa, parang gets na gets niya yung concept, yung abstract concept na kinakwento ko sa kanya. Like, I want this film to feel like islands in a map. may sarili-sariling mundo. Tapos parang, pag kinurento mo siya sa ibang tao, parang, ano yun? Anong ibig mong sabihin? Parang, give us concrete images or what will happen in the film. Pero, pag kinurento ko sa kanya na concept pa lang, kaya niyang ituloy. So may ganun. And I think, na-feel rin niya. So, nag-offer ako bago siya umalis, uy, kung gusto mo mag one night pa sa Manila, pwede ka mag-stay sa amin. So, nag-sleep over siya sa amin. Tapos, nag-bonding pa kami further. Tapos, dun ko na feel na, aside from being aligned creatively, meron ring parts about our past and personality na are somewhat aligned. In a weird way. Parang siyang mahilig siyang mapadala sa random adventures the same way na ako rin. Parehas kaming medyo weird na discover ko nung magkasama na kami sa Sweden. Tapos ang dami lang literal similarities na I think ito talaga yung pag creative ka, you naturally gravitate to people who have that strong magnetism as yours. Parang yung the frequency thing. So, ayun, yun yung na-feel ko sa kanya. At hindi lang naman sa kanya, madalas ko siyang ma-feel, kaya sa producers, minsan sa mga co-work na DP, sa PD. Tapos ang saya lang niya if yung hinala mo ay true. Kasi, di ba, when you work for the first time with someone, hindi mo pa naman sure. Like, hula ko lang, ito yung vibe ko. I think we'll get along, but you're not sure yet. Until magkasama kayo sa set.
Tama. Especially as a freelancer, di ba? You go to the set, hopefully magka-vibe kayo.
Oh, parang hope, tiwala na lang. But, ayun. So, good then naman, nangyari siya with Helen. And sa Leonor rin, ganun eh. First time kong maka-work, most of them. But we ended up having such good chemistry.
That's so cool. I find that so, like, such a fascinating topic for parang creative collaborators. Especially kay ni Helen, kasi parang you guys came from different cultures, different times, different backgrounds, pero parang you're able to find common ground creatively, diba? Parang there's like a magical spark to that sometimes. And even me, like, when I've been doing this podcast, like, the more creatives I talk to, parang may rush talaga in finding like this common ground that you can both relate to kahit iba yung craft mo, kahit may chef. Like the other day I talked to Chef Krizza, and it's just really nice to see these, you know, yung mga parallels na ganun. I definitely want to explore that more, especially yung mga process mo in writing and collaborating with different teams. But I want to quickly touch upon your background as a filmmaker. For people who aren't that familiar with where you came from, can you tell us about how movie making came into your life? About, were you a fan of early films? Was your family like into movies, or were you shooting, you know, stuff as a kid? Paano nagsimula yan?
Ito siya eh. I think dalawang bagay siya. Isa yung mahilig akong manood ng mga, hindi lang Disney, but pati Winnie the Pooh, yung mga VHS. Tapos meron akong weird habit of just repeating things I liked watching. And yung isang aspect, yung camera. I think bata tayo nung nauso yung home video cam, yung Sony Video 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every middle class household had that. And
mga
so
tape pa yun,
may ganun,
mga mini
tape
DV ganun. Yeah.
Before mini DV pa to. And then yung grandpa ko bumili noon nung little girl pa ako. And eventually, kasi only child ako, yung invention of a camera is so fascinating. I think for any person, bata o matanda, yung idea na pwede kang mag-capture ng any moment, memorable man or forgettable, pwede mo siya i-capture. At yung strange part, pwede mo siyang i-replay at pwede mo siyang i-pause. So, merong habit yung family ko dati na mahilig kami manood lang ng mga nakuhang videos. Tapos, hindi ko alam yung act pala na yun, dun ko na intindihan kung gaano ka valuable ang camera or yung pag-capture ng moments in life and also yung pag-contain ng time and ng history. And hanggang ngayon, minsan pag feel ko lang, nanonood lang ng mga lumang videos. So marami kaming archives that came from people who are not filmmakers, ordinary people who just saw value in that object. So nung bata pa lang ako, marami akong photos and videos of yung mga dolls, plants, pets. Tapos inisip ko parang, bakit ito yung mga trip kong kunan? And I realized, ito kasi yung mga bagay that surrounds me as a kid. And siguro dahil bored ako, nakakatuwa na pwede mo lang silang kunan. So it started there. And I think kaya hanggang ngayon, pagiging BP pa rin yung dream ko in life. Hindi ko nanggagaling siya dun. Such a childlike curiosity of just capturing things or putting things that you find meaningful in a frame. Parang sobrang fascinated ako doon. Kasi may limit siya, like ang lahal-lahal ng mundo, ng buhay. Pero ano yung pipiliin mong ilagay sa four corners na to? So, doon nagsimula. Mm-mm. And then, grade school, photography club ako. Ako yung parang pag may events, yung taga-document, taga-gawa rin ako ng mga mass PowerPoints. Yung may lyrics na as a Catholic school girl. Tapos ano rin, di ba usa yung may stereotypes nung high school. So ako yung taga-gawa lagi ng mga videos or taga-direct. Hanggang sa nung ipili na ng college, sabi ko, usong-usa yung mga music videos and OPM nung high school. Tapos sabi ko, hala, gusto ko maging either filmmaker or musician. Tapos sabi ko, hindi ako magaling na musician. So sabi ko, try ko kaya mag-film. E nalaman kong may UP film. Hindi ako nakapasok. Hindi, pero hindi ako nakapasok.
Ah, nag-apply ka sa music? Ah, okay. Oh.
Sa film ako nag-apply. Second choice to music. Okay. E may talent test yan. So hindi ako nakapasok sa UP. And then nag-lasal muna ako. 1 year, and then saka ako nag-transfer to film kasi malakas talaga yung feeling na feeling ko gusto kong i-pursue yung filmmaking. Eh, sa com arts, hindi siya nakafocus sa film. And yun, dire-diretso na siya. Medyo boring yung path, medyo straight path siya, and then yun.
No, but I super love that, I love that that insight as a kid na parang you were given this video, parang VCR, no? And actually, funny nga you mentioned that kasi recently sa cousin group namin, may nag-send sa mga pinsan namin, ganun din, videos of like a party in the 90s. And naisip ko din, kakaibang experience in history din siya. Na, kasi ngayon, diba, sobrang dami ng cameras. And we just act differently when someone's videoing. Everyone's like, hey! But back then, I don't know, parang people reacted differently when they were being videoed on a VCR. Parang medyo mas special occasion siya. And they were more candid, alam mo yan. Parang, tama yung sinabi mo eh, parang when you're, you know, the person who's recording that in that time is, you know, they're selecting moments and people which are important to them. And medyo fascinating to look back on that, you know, years from now, no? So, ikaw ba yung pataga-document ng mga family reunions mo and stuff?
Forever. Hanggang ngayon, hanggang nung huling Pasko, nung New Year, ako yung laging taga-family portrait. Pero, parang...
Kapag may group pic, I bet sinasabi nila yan, oy, Direk, ano, paano kami magpo-post sa group pic? Diba?
Oo, ganon. Tapos, diba, sabi mo yung parang yung pagpili ng shot sa special occasions. Narealize po, hindi nang siya sa special occasions. Eh. Parang siyang, ang images dati, mas special siya in general. Kasi mas onti siya, mas mahirap kunan kasi hindi naman lahat ng tao may cameras. Pag manonood ka ng image sa big screen, kailangan mong dayuhin ng cinema kasi wala pang TV, wala pang, alam mo yun, parang ang special ng image dati na ngayon habang tumatagal, nadidiminish kung gano'n siya ka special. I think dahil lang ang available na niya everywhere and
yeah, it
feels like it feels like pag manonood ka, pwede kang gumawa ng many other things habang nagpe-play yung moving image. Just parang,
turn on Netflix, tapos ganun. Nakatingin ka din sa ibang screen, nakatingin ka sa ibang mga video story habang nanonood. It is different, no? I mean, not to sound like, oh, it was so much better before, but it is very different, no?
It's just different. Oh, ganun lang talaga.
Okay, sige, so we touched up on college education na napunta ka sa ano, sa UP. And by the way, parang medyo naging crossroads din sa akin personally. Nag-apply din ako UP Film, pero di ako tinanggap. And dun ako napunta sa Com Arts Ateneo. And I always wonder, like, oh, I wonder how different my filmmaking career would have been. I guess kayo yung makakasama ko dun. But, you know, it's nice to kind of, you know, connect after college and stuff. But yeah, after sa UP, after graduating, kailan siya parang pumasok sa'yo as like a career? Like, when did it start to think of, like, what kind of image were you getting of the film industry pre-graduation, and ano yung mga sinubukan mo as a fresh grad?
Mm-hmm. Yung pre-graduation, di ba may org kayo dati, ano, kayo ba yung Ateneo Video Open? Mga ganun.
Yeah. LFC.
Kasi, ng LFC. Kasi, nung buong college years, so siguro hanggang ngayon, hindi ko alam kung gano'n, kung how it is now, no? Pero, thing yung pag may school project ka, sasubmit mo sa lahat ng iba't ibang school festivals. Tapos, yun yung, kumbaga, first audience mo outside your classroom. At, yun yung, for me, isa sa mga taga-reality check kung itutuloy ko ba ang film or hindi. Kasi, tuwang-tuwa ako sa paggawa ng film, but I think hindi enough yung ako lang yung masaya or kaming team lang yung masaya. Parang it matters na someone else appreciates it. So, lagi ako nagsasubmit every single year. Pati sa mga film contest, I think sinalihan ko, hindi naman lahat, but almost lahat. Sa 4 years in film school. And yun, parang dun siguro na-hone yung ano ba tong drive? Is it because I really want to make films? Do I want to sharpen whatever language I've learned? So, ang dami niyang pumaga training na nangyari. And then, it was after graduating na nag-start akong mag-direct ng mga small, really small videos na ikaw gagawa lahat. Yung ikaw magsusunat, edit, shoot, ganyan. And then, dun ko rin na-meet after grad sina Monster. Naging brainstorm team ako sa the side up. And then, nag-start ako mag-direct for little things. And at the same time, nag-LP ako kay Ed Bursa Revolver. And also, nag-apprentice ako ng 1 year kay Direct Boy. Kasi gusto ko rin mag-BP. So, parang ang dami kong gustong gawin as a crazy, eager beaver, fresh grad. And at the same time, nagsusulat na rin ako nung Leonor kasi nag-start siya in a workshop sa Mobile Fund 2014. Tapos doon nagsimula yung Leonor. So, since then, ayun, it's different things going on. And parang, ironically, itong period right now, yung pinaka, wala akong ginagawa.
Oh, really?
And I sort of like it.
Kasi, was it like a hustle attitude before? Na, you know, I just go everywhere, try to dip my toes in everything and see where it goes. Would you say now is a little more like focused?
Oo. Yung dati, which is still in my mind, pero when I question ko na ngayon na parang, what is valuable in life ba to me? So, dati kasi, ang fear is, hanggang ngayon naman, parang to keep on working as a freelancer, kailangan lagi kang out there. Kailangan marami kang director. Siyempre, gagalingan mo. Kailangan hindi ka, lagi ka available. So, parang ang daming fear. And kaya rin ang tagal ng Leonor, ang dami ko rin kasing ginagawa na other things at on the side. And then, simula nung Leonor, I think lang na box na nagdi-direct ako. But hindi talaga ako nag-direct kasi ayoko na siyang gawin ever. But it also meant na I get less work now as VP, as cam op, as all the things that I want to pursue talaga. So yun, may ganong conflict. But at the same time, there's also more time to do nothing. To just, you know, watch a film
just
every
live
night.
Life.
To learn, yeah. Learn a new song, spend time with your friends. Which is okay temporarily. Kasi kung matagal na ganito, paano na ang ipon in life and future. So, I think parang iniisip ko na lang yung lifeline natin. Mahaba naman siya. So, ito yung era na kalma lang. Tapos sana, in 2 years, gaganon-ganon siya.
Tama. I mean, that's exactly what Reese Lansangan said on the pod. Sobrang tumatak siya sa akin. Like, I saved it. I made a video on it. But she said na, she's Reese Lansangan, the musician, no? About accepting na may seasons, you know, na parang minsan, hindi mo talaga season for growing. Minsan, ano talaga, you have to prune yourself. Like, with just going back to the analogy of like tending your own garden, minsan talaga nalalagas yung mga flowers mo, but eventually, you know, it will go into its own kind of blooming era, no? And I think that's nice. It's interesting that you say nga na parang you're hesitant on choosing direction and directing. Because you're really good at it, and you're good at both. You're good at DPing and directing. But you know, where would you say now, like after you just came back from Sweden, trying to pursue creative work, and where would you say you are in that kind of conflict right now? I guess tying it closer to another question about, you know, balancing between the work of an artist where you talk, you pursue your own stories, or the work of like a skilled craftsman, diba? Kasi yun yung industry dito, diba? Kapag cinematographer ka, you know, tama, like what you said, you like, you're expected to be ready all the time, you know, to constantly keep working. It's also how you make it sustainable, but also, may parang inaalagaan ka ding inner voice ng artist as another filmmaker. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Where are you in that equation right now?
In that, so po, ito yung equation, nandun ako somewhere around it. Kasi I used to say, na, you know, directing is really not my thing. I find it so difficult, and yung qualities ko as a person hindi fit sa job ng director. But now that I'm in my not so many projects era, pag may nagtatanong, of course I say yes, okay, game, bid tayo, or let's work together. But I still try to focus my energy sa pag-pursue ng pag-DP. So, kung paano, hindi ko alam. May film na isushoot kami soon, but ngayon, wala. So, inisip ko, gagawa ba ako ng reel, gagawa ba ako ng website, mag-message na ba ako mag-apprentice ulit. And I think nung time na nagkita tayo sa set, si Tristan yung VP. Tapos kaya kami nag-start mag-work together kasi tinanong ko siya kung pwede ba ako mag-apprentice sa kanya. Kasi feeling ko talaga, as a VP, ang dami ko pang kailangan matutunan. And so, ting may namimit akong DP, parang, hi, direct, pwede ba mag-observe, ganyan. Tapos wala namang gustong magsama sa akin bukod sa yung mga nakaka-work ko. So, ayun, I think ngayon I might do that again. And I really just like being on set, watching people do their thing. And then, yung palang arami mo nang napupulot. And when you eventually work in a set like that, it becomes, anyway, more comfortable.
Right, right. So yes, since we're here about DP work, I wanted to ask you on how nag-iba yung, or nag-shift yung mindset mo as a cinematographer on a set, no? Kasi you did work for, nag-DP ka for Kev Cinemalaya Film when this is all over. Kay APA, Agbayani din, abutan man tayo na House Lights. Yeah, I'm just curious, no? Parang how does it, as a filmmaker who wears different hats on set, like what kind of mode you get into when you're DPing for a project?
Pag DP, kasi I think it's the more interesting form of also directing. Kaya nga director of photography yung title. Because you're somehow directing also with someone who your goal is to help that person put into images what's on their mind. For me, yun yung parang pinakamasayang creative endeavor. Hindi lang challenge, but endeavor. Like, tuwang-tuwa ako pag sit down meeting kami ng director. Usap kami about life, the project a little, and dun mo ma-figure out, ano kaya yung language ng taong to? Titingnan mo kung paano siya magkuha ng sarili niyang photos, like sa Instagram feed or sa mga posts niya, and then ano yung mga types of films that this person likes. Pag nagkakwento siya, ano ba yung kinakwento niya? Big events or the small events? Parang dun mo mag-grasp. Parang kung nag-analyze na, siguro in images, ganito siya. Pwedeng mali, pwedeng tama. And then, usually sa next conversation, dun na kami magpapakita ng like, parang ganito na yung feel. And I really love that. Lalo na yung experimentation on set. So, hindi ako director in a director sense. Yung parang hindi ako like tagi-impose ever. Unless it's, meron akong strong feelings for something. Tapos kunyari, hindi yun yung same feeling ng director. Sasabihin ko, but of course, it's always, you know, you're there to support the director and to be a kakampi. So yun ang laging parang mission. I mean, like, let's make something together that makes sense sa ating dalawa or sa atin as a whole team. So yun, minsan nga iniisip ko parang as a DP, kasi feeling ako, pag director ako, gusto ko lahat ng staff closely involved. As in, tuwang-tuwa ako pag may comment sila sa script, kapag may thought sila sa other departments, kapag alam mong pinag-iisipan nila deeply what the script is. So, as a DP naman, pag ako nag-work with other directors, I also try to do the same. Like, usually the first conversation is about the script and not anything visual related. So yung ganun. Kasi feeling ko pag director ka, ang gusto mong kasama sa set, yung mga kakampi mo na inalamb yung ideas mo, not just to do their job, like to design the set, to frame the camera. It's just to know the project and to know what's on your mind. So yun yung parang.
Yeah, I think the collaboration is really, the collaboration and those kinds of projects is such a nice feeling. I kind of talked about it when I had sila Kev and Jopi on. And I feel like, you know, as I'm a director who works mainly in advertising, and means that I kind of look over what it's like in filmmaking. And of course, I guess there's like a grass is greener kind of thing. Pero parang that's what looks super fun to me, na seeing how you know, on a film set, you can be really make these spontaneous decisions. It's more of like a group discussion. Oh, parang mas bagay to, ah. Ito, shoot kaya natin ng ganyan. Eh, alam mo naman in advertising how it can be super rigid, diba? Na parang every decision, kailangan dumaan sa agency, mag-meeting kayo ng sobrang tagal. Which I get it. I mean, that's why it's a marketing campaign for people who, you know, they put a lot of money to tell the brand story. But when I get a glimpse of that, like when we do music videos or something, parang bumabalik ako dun sa feeling ko when I was making films in high school, you know, or making films in college, na it's a group collaborative effort na masaya. It's like a creative jam. Alam mo yan.
Tapos, pag filmmaking kasi, ewan ko, pag ads kasi, nakakatakot magkamali. Or bawal magkamali. Sa filmmaking, minsan kasi, yung pagkakamali mo, dun pala lalabas yung kung ano talaga dapat yung work. May ganun.
Sometimes. Ang medyo liberating nga yung ganung mindset yun. And I think, have you read Rick Rubin's The Creative Act?
Oo, binigay ni Kevin.
Oh my God, okay.
Sabi ko, okay.
Yun din yung mga binibigay kong gift nung Pasko eh. Kasi sobrang, I think a lot of artists will resonate with it and the people who I've had in the show. As in literal, like some stuff we talk about, na-articulate niya ng sobrang poetic. Ang ganda talaga. And I think there's a lot, you know, that we're talking about now. That he touches up on that, no? Yung parang ganun, na parang following mistakes into something that could be more interesting, diba? Parang kailangan mo din ng konting humility, I guess, eh, na I mean, sometimes nga in advertising, diba, parang I'm trained to be like, oh, you have the answers, diba? You are the director, na parang dapat andyan na yung mga final decision, ganyan. Pero minsan talaga, may mga bagay na kailangan mo sundan kahit mali muna siya, tapos may nangyayaring something magical down the line.
Ang thing siguro pag sa advertising, ang dami kasing like limits, like yung cost restraints, schedule, yung layers of. So, ayun, yun yung pag sinasabi kong feeling ko yung qualities ko as a person, hindi bagay sa directing. Yung sa pag-handle ng ganun, yung hindi ko kaya, yung parang very kalat lang kasi ako, like walang plano or mahilig mag-try or kumalas sa pinapag-usapan. So, wala lang, parang if I had the choice to try to pursue something na mas bagay yung qualities, feeling ko sa pag-DP nga, mas pwedeng mag-experiment with lights and like, how you frame what's, ito yung board, pero paano mo siya gagawin mas interesting, yung mga ganong creative challenges.
Sige, let's shift it to, you know, your work as a director din naman. I'm curious about we kept touching up on it about voice. I'm really curious kasi, you know, I think you're a filmmaker who has a very unique voice. Like, it's really Martika. Like, when I see your film, it's like I know it's you, and it's the themes that you're doing, the visuals, even the way you DP, parang may There's something about you. You have a signature on it, and I think that's really what we can like aspire to as artists. Na parang when you make something, it has your signature on it. And I'm curious nga kasi even in this conversation, you kept saying you're fascinated with little things, you know, or the mundane moments that you kind of zero into. And I'm curious how you find your voice as a filmmaker. Na parang even with the things you want to make, are you the type but to, I don't know, curate something like a mood board? Are you the type to write ideas as it happens? Do you journal? You know, like how do you kind of, you know, kahit sabi mong messy thinker ka, how do you kind of get all those messy ideas together and make something?
Ano, para ako, ano yung tawag din? Yung mga nagpupulot lang ng kung ano-ano. So, ang dami kong notes sa phone, voice recordings. Sa table ko, yung mga random notes. Sa computer, sobrang daming. At untitled.-1 hanggang untitled-100. So, very, ano siya, pag may naisip ako, merong urgent fear of baka mawala. So, sinusulat ko siya agad. And also, kukurang ko ng picture. So, yung phone ko rin, ang dami niyang weird photos. Alam mo yung, kunyari, maglalakad ka lang, tapos sa isang cement building, may maliit na halaman. Yung mga ganong things. So, it's really yung impulse of realizing something that happens in front of you and wanting to remember that. So, kung paano i-capture yun siya. So,
ganda. That's exactly like messy, what you said at the start, na? Yung videoing moments with your family. Parang comes from a desire to kind of preserve something that you find interesting.
Oh, parang ganun. Tapos feeling ko, lahat tayo somehow ganun. Kasi diba ngayon, uso sa atin yung kakain tayo tapos maganda yung food, picturean natin. Punta tayo sa bagong place, picture. Malang yung that impulse is present and very apparent. So it's something na I think people closely resonate to also. So kunyari, may strange picture siya to me, but I'm sure some other person also would take a picture like that. So, ano rin siya, form of finding connections with others.
Tama.
Kaya rin, we put it out there.
I wanted to highlight what you just said. It's something I came across in the creative act in Eric Rubin, where he had this artist who's a songwriter, and then yung friends and family niya, I forget who the writer was, but sanay na sila na they're just having dinner, in the middle of conversation, and then this guy just steps up and walks away because he thought of something in the moment. Kasi isasuka lang niya isulat. Kasi mawawala talaga sa universe yung mga ideas na yun eh. Kung di mo, para silang raindrops na kailangan mong hulihin, diba? Kung mawala, it's gone forever. So, aww, for that artist, it's important, diba? Na when something, when inspiration strikes, you know, capture mo siya.
Yeah, right. Tapos wala naman mawawala. It's a small, you know, act of doing something. So, babalik ka lang, kakain na ulit siya ng dinner.
Right. So yes, I guess for other creatives who are kind of like that, who relate to that, how do you manage to sit down and like churn out the script? Alam mo yan? Kasi iba yung skill na yan sa being open, being perceptive, being, you know, but how do you kind of like when it's writing time, like what you just said, like even what you're doing in Sweden, diba, na parang okay, this is time to get something out na tangible, diba? Ano yung mga go-to practices in doing that?
Do other things. So, sa Sweden, kaya ako maraming pictures ng pagkain na niluto ko. Kasi si Helen yung taga-sulat. Ako yung taga parang mag-iisip ng onde, magkakwento. Tapos hindi ko na kaya. Parang kailangan ko lang mag-walk sa woods or magluto or umupo to do nothing. So, ano siya, hindi ako yung type of person na may discipline. Or meron akong discipline kapag may deadline. So, I often work only near the deadline. So, kung may submission, tas kailangan ng script, ayun, work ako the week before and kahit di matulog, mas ganun, mas concentrated. And the rest of the time, I do other things but still think about the project. So, kunyari, ngayon, dapat tatapusin ko yung sequence treatment nung sinulat sa Sweden. But, I chose to watch a film instead. Na ang ganda, by the way, si Jane Birkin for Agnes Varda. Documentary siya. Tapos, ang ganda lang kasi ng dalawang creative people na nagtatry silang mag-itindihan sa isang napaka-surreal film. Nasa movie siya.
What's the name of the film again?
Si Jane Birkin.
Jane Birkin.
Meron siyang documentary with Agnes Varda.
Okay.
Ano na lang siya, 12 days left.
Sa movie.
So, okay. So may ganun. Tapos parang, sa mind ko, mafe-feel ko naman yung urgency to write kapag malapit na yung deadline, which is middle of Feb. So, very, I think lahat tayo may way of, we know ourselves deep enough to know kung saan tayo nagpa-function best and the most. So sa akin, it's really the deadline. Tapos kung walang deadline, hindi ako mag-work at all. Kasi sa utak ko, okay lang yan. May infinite number of years naman to make this. Tapos kung hindi magawa, edi hindi.
Yes, I'm the same way. I need deadlines to make something happen for sure. Kahit self-imposed deadline siya. Speaking of deadlines, when do you know that a film is finished? I mean, it took you a long time to finish Leonore. Writing, even like, I read somewhere na your editors had to like tell you na, okay, for the Sundance submission, uy, tapos na to, bigay na natin. I think there are a lot of creatives who have trouble even stepping away, not tweaking stuff too much. And a lot of musicians, parang they can't finish a song or they want to keep working on it. It's not perfect or whatever. Are you that way? Like, how do you say na parang, okay, ready na to?
Yung takeaway ko sa Leonore, siguro ngayon kasi it's been 2 years since we had our premiere, yung natutunan ko ay ang film never siya matatapos. So hanggang ngayon, feeling ko it's still growing into something else. As time passes, nagiging iba yung pelikula compared to how the present time, kung saan pinapanood yung pelikula is. Iba rin yung experience of watching the film in different cities, pati yung sa time of day. So, minsan nga, like, even in the same city, the same cinema, iba ang air of the morning screening sa evening screening. So, may feeling na ang film, once you started breathing life into it, it continues to live as long as people still, you know, watches it. Feeling ko yung only time na masasabi mong tapos na siya is kapag wala nang nanood ng film na yun. Ever. But, ewan ko, parang ayoko sana ng ganun. Kaya yung Leonor, isa sa initial endings nun is also, kunyari, nire-restore yung Leonor. Kasi very fascinated ako sa, kunyari lang siya, parang sa idea of, may mga films na nire-restore ngayon. Tapos ang precious lang na people see so much value in these works na they would spend so much just to keep it in a shape that's watchable. So, ang ano lang, parang yun, yung feeling ko hindi siya natatapos. So, but na-learn ko lang yun after screening Leonor. But during Leonor, nung nag-edit, siguro ito yung the realistic side. Yeah, it's really the deadline. It's true what you said. Parang submission na, so kailangan ko na mag-let go. But even the first time I saw it in the big screen, ang dami kong mental notes na parang, oh no, yeah. This, ano, i-revise pa naman. But at a certain point, parang I accepted na ito siya ngayon, ito siya hanggang sa rest of its life, at ang bubuhay sa kanya ay yung people responding to it. Kahit na manood lang, ganun. So,
I love that. That's such a healthy way to look at a film. I guess, pwede din siyang pang-counter ng perfectionism na pag binitawan mo na, in a way, hindi na siya sa'yo lang. Eh. Alam mo, parang mapupunta na siya sa, you know, these audiences, people who enjoy it. And I think maybe that's a good segue to a question. I'm curious on how Leonor was screened. I watched one of the screenings where parang it was a unconventional way of sharing the film, no? Parang you guys did go straight into the cinemas, parang pwede ka mag-hire ng like if people wanna screen the film and put it out, they can do it for themselves. I guess I'm just curious about strategy in this parang this the Philippine filmmaking industry. Parang why did you guys decide to do that? And what are the options in doing that?
And yung experience of self-distributing Leonor, nanggaling siya sa request of una sana walang theatrical screenings. Because lahat ng experiences ko of watching an independent film in a cinema, kahit pre-pandemic at nung pandemic, ang daming emptiness to it. Yung ako lang nasa, tuwing nanonood ako sa UP, minsan 10 people lang kami sa sinihan. And may part of me as a romantic first-time filmmaker, ayoko yung sight na empty yung cinema. So along with my producer, na naintindihan rin ngayon, kasi she does agree na yung Leonor is a film meant to be seen with a lot of people. It's also a film that reminds us of the feeling of watching in a TV yung mga action film replays with your neighbors and friends sa bahay, tas lahat kayo magkakasama. So may coziness and comfort to that na ayokong mangyari sa empty, na hindi mangyari sa empty cinema. So the conversation was like, how do we address that? So sabi namin, syempre, we can't get a partner na theaters kasi iba yung process eh, and it means having empty cinema. So we decided to book everything ourselves and then sort of sell it as a block screening. And then sila na magsa-strategize, which is very, I think, healthy sa ganitong film kasi it would be one person booking, inviting friends, who invites friends of friends. Parang nagkaroon ng maliit na community at may mga nag-birthday, may mga orgs, mga film screenings. Yung regional screenings, at tinulungan kami ng FBCP. So, yung fear ko of, hala, is it all Manila? So, at least meron ka bing onting regional screenings. But still, if it wasn't enough, nung nagkaroon ng short theatrical, hindi naman theatrical run the official, but we booked parang 3 days ba? hindi ganun karami yung nanood. So we knew already na hindi ito yung type of film that will just screen once and draw more people. It really just attracts people who are interested in the film in the first place. Yung parang curious or willing manood ng something strange from an unknown director. So yung mga yun. And I think part rin siya, yung sabi mo, kailan ba tapos yung film? Itong whole distribution part, ano rin siya, proof na hindi pa nag-end yung film sa export or sa pag-DCP. Kasi even the way, yeah, these individuals who book the cinemas, you know, strategize their own way of getting an audience. Ano rin siya, it's proof na marami pa pala kaming co-parents sa film na to. It's not just us and the key staff. It's actually a bigger community of mostly young people, I think, our fellow dreamers,
yeah,
like us. So yeah. Nakakatuwa siya, nakakatuwa.
Yeah, I can vouch for that for sure. The first time I saw Leonor was in Greenbelt in one of those screenings, and may ibang energy talaga siya, and I appreciate it. It made the experience better for me as a viewer. Sabay-sabay nagtatawanan, you're all experiencing, you know, the film together. And you know, I like it. I got merch. You know, I just remembered that. What a nice way to screen a film. Alam mo yun, parang it's a film that finds its own audience and like an audience that cares for it. So really interesting. And I'm curious then about what you said, where you show the screenings in different cities, and I think, you know, you're one of the most, you know, well-traveled filmmakers I know na naka-experience ka ng cinema sa iba't ibang bansa, the Sundance. And, you know, I think I got to take Bianca Balbuena's workshop for a bit. So she's a producer. And medyo nabukas yung isip ko sa, there's an international community that just loves cinema so much, and they dedicate time and resources to it, and their government, you know, supports their artists. And it was like kind of mind-blowing na may ganun pala, diba? So yeah, I want to ask, you know, what has been your experience with something like that?
Ang saya kasi even if our pocket screenings were successful, there's still this air of, we feel that the film is more appreciated outside its homeland. At wala, ganun lang talaga. Hindi naman yun masama. I mean, I'm still happy na it found its people outside of the Philippines. And yung genre festivals, particularly yung best audiences ever. Yung screening namin sa TIFF was in Midnight Madness. So it's a midnight screening. Yun yung trailer palang allowed kang pumalakpak, sumigaw, humiyaw, may magperperform, may games. And then may iba kaming, yung next festival namin sa Fantastic Fest, may mga mascot. Ano mo yung parang, they really celebrate the joy of watching films with a group of people who enjoy watching films also. So nagiging malaking community siya. And yung luckily, hindi ko alam before, yung Leonor pala fits into these genre festivals. So yung best screenings ng Leonor are always there. Even sa Sitges, meron silang tinatawag na zombie walk. So may booth na may libreng zombie makeup at for an hour at a certain time. Lahat ng tao pwedeng may zombie walk. So parang ano lang niya. It's really parang not taking things too seriously and just allowing yourself to enjoy cinema even if hindi siya serious. Kasi usually itong mga genre, mga horror or comedy or like weird films. Tapos hindi, mag-iisip ka pero hindi siya as, you know, yung intellectually stimulating films in a different way. So, yun. But aside from the genre festivals, siguro our other screenings are very, depende rin sa country, may ibang bansa na ang tanong nila laging sa social context or like political background ng project. Sa iba naman, mas technical. So dun mo rin marirealize kung paano na shape ang audience sa isang ano city, which is is also more proof of the film is alive.
Right. So, you know, going through all of that, I'm curious na that now that you're thinking about your second feature, are you ano na naisip mong trajectory mo as a filmmaker? Are you thinking about, you know, these international releases as part of the life cycle of your film, even as your career, no? Parang is that a new door that was opened to you that you didn't know about before, and you know, how did that affect, you know, the rest of your planning for a filmmaking career?
Well, I think for now it's still the same mindset I had while making Leonor. I didn't really care about where this film would go. Yung important for me is mahanap niya yung audience niya. At sana yung audience na yun, more than 10 people. At sana kung saan siya mag-screen, sa cinema siya at hindi online. So yun lang yung like very few qualifications. I don't really strategize. Even my producer, di kami parang kailangan matapos to by this date for this festival. Because I think that also blocks whatever freedom I have. I think yung pinaka gusto ko about making films ay yung freedom. Yung pagiging creative in unconventional ways. And itong film, meron na tong a chapter sa ano, creative act na parang opposite siya ng Leonor. So, I used to be very rigid sa filmmaking. Yung Leonor, may storyboard, shot list, may live action board. Every day, binibreakdown ko pa yung shots. Tapos, paunti-unti, kumakalas na ako. Parang sabi ko, parang ayoko na pala nito. Ang feeling ko, ang stuck ko. So now for this second feature, opposite naman. Like, gusto ko sana walang shot list, non-actors, conceptual, yung narrative, yung script, kailangan siya para maintindihan siya ng mga tao. But may feeling ako na it's going to be very spontaneous and maraming improvisation involved. So, feeling ko as a person, ano rin siya, we also want to grow beyond what we're used to. So, itong second film is also an experiment. And yung challenge, siguro kaya mo rin natanong yung ano ba, iniisip ko ba yung saan siya mag-screen or kung mag-international screenings ba? I guess right now it matters kasi we still need, of course, we always need resources and money to pay people well or fairly to have equipment to shoot. So, yung mga yun, alam kong mahirap maghanap ng resources sa Philippines. So, nagtatry kami maghanap outside. And ideally, as long as we have yung minimum amount, makapag-shoot na kami. Kasi it's also a film that will partially be shot in Spain. So, siguro ngayon, necessity siya na kailangan namin mag, alam mo yun, connect more with other people. And yung isa sa ano rin, I think good experiences with Leonor or traveling with Leonor is that you get to meet people na sobrang may creative spark rin kayo. Kung hindi man creative spark, yung alam mong gusto na kanilang tulungan. So yung mga yun, gather namin. Tapos parang, hala, tara na, maybe it's time to make something together. So, ayun, lumalaki yung concept of collaboration. I used to think it's just, find your friends na pares kayo ng trip. Okay na yun. And then it becomes, find people in the Philippines sa pares kayo ng trip. But now it becomes like really bigger. It feels like yung options mo of collaborating or of finding collaborators. Parang buong mundo siya and I just really love it for now. So hindi ko alam kasi feeling ko naman tayo tuwing sa bawat pelikula may tinatry tayong i-learn or i-discover or hanapan ng growth as a person and creatively. At yun, nasa stage ako na yun, also knowing na, I mean, in our lifespan, ilan lang ba ang films na magagawa, di ba? Kasi ang hirap bumuha ng isa. So, whatever next film, you know, we'll make, kailangan special siya in some way, even to just you and your team.
And that's really great, Marty. I think that also spoke to me personally, and you know, I'm excited to see, you know, the new film. It sounds really fun. But yeah, I think let's wrap it up with a few more questions. And I want to touch upon, you know, you're maintaining that mental health as a filmmaker, as a creative. Kasi alam naman natin, minsan talaga turbulent yung buhay as a creative. Kasi syempre, hanap buhay din siya. And sometimes, you know, it's there's this weird thing of monetizing your passion, but also keeping it pure, you know. So I guess I'm curious then, because you're also a creative I know who does a lot of other things. You cook, you know, you're a musician. Travel. I've been seeing like may mga diving posts ka din, diba? Mga sa free diving. So yeah, I'm curious na how important is like, you know, other interests outside of filmmaking for you?
How important is it? Feeling ko kasi yung outside interests, yung dun mo makikita yung ano yung gusto mong i-contain into the films you want to make. Dun mo rin na-expose yung sarili mo ulit. Going outside, dun mo nakikita, you know, how the world and people are actually like. Feeling ko, dun mo rin parang deeply maiintindihan paano nag-ooperate lahat ng bagay. Iba siya sa nasa kwarto ka lang tapos magbabasa ka or manunood ka ng 100 films a month. It's always yung discoveries, accidental discoveries by just doing other things that lead you to more profound realizations about life. So, kunyari, yung diving, dati nagda-dive na ako, pero ngayon, on purpose akong nag-free dive as preparation for the trip sa Sweden kasi gusto ko lang maalala ano ba yung sensations na bakit ako tuwang-tuwa sa pagda-dive. Gusto kong malaman. So, sa trip na yon in every dive, I was consciously trying to notice ano yung gusto ko about this. Kuyari, water. I like the feeling of na when you're in water, you are held. As long as you float and stay calm, you will always be held. You will not drown. And also, yung concept ng free diving, the more relaxed you are, the longer you can hold your breath underwater. So, parang siyang meditation, hindi siya endurance, hindi siya yung parang how I used to understand what a sport is like. So, yung mga ganong realizations, it's what I also want the film to feel like. Kunyari, gusto ko yung feeling na magda-dive ka sa uncertainty, wala kang makita, it's just blue, almost black, but you feel more comfortable than feeling anxious in this uncertain dark water, which is also like life. Parang ang life naman naturally uncertain, but it's always best to keep a mindset na maging comfortable tayo sa uncertainty. Yung ganun. So feeling ko yung hobbies na yan, lahat naman tayo may mga strains or like maraming diverse hobbies. Lahat yan meron feeling kong somehow learning or may reason kung bakit tayo inclined in being obsessed over these things. Meron siyang personal na, hindi lang siya dahil fun, hindi lang siya dahil gusto ng friends ko, meron niyang something na hinahanap natin inside. That's why we decide to pursue it. So, ganun rin yung baking, ganun rin yung cooking, yung pinatry ko ngayon to consciously not. So, recipe, itingnan ko lang siya, pero ayoko sanang maging masyadong like, ah, ito yung sinabi. Mas if you feel out mo until it tastes good for you. So, parang lang siyang sa pelikula, yung tatansahin mo lang kung ano yung, wala kang formula lang susundin. Like, a-adjust mo siya na nga-adjust hanggang sa maging meaningful siya for you. So I think yung mga yan, I think ikaw rin, like, gets mo to yung, meron tayong output, nangyari, sa work, or sa music, or sa film, pero, yung output na yun, nanggagaling siya sa iba't iba nating activities in life, not just the one directly related to creating that output.
Yeah, for sure. I think, para kang, diba, Emmy, as a filmmaker, you're a storyteller and parang experiencing life, it helps you kind of expand that palette. Para mas dumadami yung kulay mo sa palette kung paano ma-articulate tong feeling na to. Like what you said about diving, diba, going into the darkness, like where else in life will you experience that feeling na medyo ano din siya eh, diba? Very unique to free diving. yung wife ko actually free diver siya. Yung so parang doon ko lang siya nasubukan. Nung nililigawan ko siya, yung mga kuya niya mga free diver din. So parang tinitingnan nila kung kaya ko mag-dive. So ano din siya, nakakaibang experience din. I think I also want to ask then about, you know, since we're talking about these things that give us like perspective in life, I'm curious what you do as a creative when you feel overwhelmed or unfocused. No, I think that's something a lot of creatives can relate to, you know, when we're used to being, especially people who are used to being like free and expressive and open. What happens when the pressure is on? Diba? Parang, is there something you do to relieve that pressure? Do you go to these other activities or do you journal? What helps you when you're feeling overwhelmed?
Just step back and think about that big question na ano bang important sa'yo in life. And if I try to list it down, pangalawa yung film and first yung gusto ko lang malapit ako sa loved ones. So nandiyan yung friends, family, pets, and also siguro yung self rin, yung hobbies na ina-enjoy ko like jogging or learning a new song or yoga, meditating, ganyan. But I think yung question mo, very important siya in a way na matagal ko kasing hindi alam kung paano ba yun i-ease. Yung pag nandiyan na lahat, lalo na like before or during or after shooting, it just feels so overwhelming. You can't sleep, you can't think straight, grumpy ka lang to everyone around you kasi parang I'm making a film or whatever. Ano siya eh, parang ang hirap maghanap ng escape, but at the same time, you chose this and you continue to choose pursuing this stressful path. So, ang daming conflict. And yun nga, yung realization is, worth it ba lahat? So, kung hindi na siya worth it, nasa-stress out ka too much, punta ka dun sa ano yung important sa'yo and let them ease the pain or the stress. At before umabot ako sa, na alam mo ba yung meron akong book dito na Catching the Big Fish kay David Lynch. Tapos diba ano siya, Transcendental Meditation advocate. So sabi ko, hala, try ko nga. So nag-enroll ako ng Transcendental Meditation. I even tried to do it, which it helped. Hindi lang bagay sa lifestyle ko or hindi ko lang kaya sa lifestyle ko yung mag-commit sa practice na yun. But I do meditate and it helps me clear my mind. So yun yung mga methods now that I didn't know then. Dati madalas ako mag-drive as a crazy person lang. Yung mag-iisip lang ako tapos mag-drive ako to nowhere. Eh mahal na yun kasi yung gas yan. So madalas rin akong mag-walk until hindi ko na parang okay na ako. Tapos pagdingin ko, hala, layo na pala ng lakad ko. Yung ganong, yeah. Yung it's just getting lost in your own thoughts. And before, hindi ko rin alam kung gano'ng ka-connected yung mind and body in my head. Like, ano siya yung magkaiba. Pero yun yan, kailangan mas connected siya for both to work better. So ngayon, tinatry ko lang magkaroon ng balance to also feel less stressed. But yun, and siguro pag sa ano naman sa with the things we create, if we feel pressured or have doubts, like ano ba tong ginagawa natin, worth it ba yung questions ko rin, which I often also ask people na kunyari part ng workshop or mamita ko, sabi, uy, ano bang may vice ka bar thoughts as an older person, ang laging questions like para saan or para kanino or bakit mo ba ginagawa tong pelikula? Then yun, if you reflect on that, dun, I guess, ma-address kung worth it ba talaga to or kung ipapagpatuloy mo siya. And oftentimes, the reasons are can be very simple or ordinary but also so profound.
Yeah, I think, Marty, I think that's a good place to end. Thanks so much for sharing everything. Nami ko pang gustong ikwenta, but maybe we can say that for a next time. Yeah, thanks so much, Marty, for being on the show.
Thank you, Gio. Thank you, Sarah. Thought-provoking, but also somehow healing questions.
I love it. That was my goal, not to give you the same questions you were getting in all your interviews.
Oh, kasi parang siguro yung intention mo rin of making this, yun nga, yung magkaroon lang, no? Yung feeling rin of magkaroon ng kakampi in your thoughts. Like, as a creative, ang dami mo rin questions. I know your questions are questions I ask myself also.
What I think, what really helps me keep this podcast consistent is I'm doing that for myself because those are the questions I also ask myself. But, you know, even for the audience, nakakatuwa din minsan na stepping out of this computer screen and other people are actually hearing these conversations and I'm hearing that it helps them. So, astig, alam mo, okay yan. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for, you know, for being vulnerable, for sharing insight and experience. So that was it. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Please remember that we really love it when you guys engage with the content in social media. Feel free to tag us in your stories and share anything you've learned about these episodes. We super appreciate it when you guys do that. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Kwentong Creatives and on TikTok at kcreatives.gl.
It isn't in the decks.
No.